You know, there are pretty simply just some things that were never meant to be done alone. It is actually better when we get to share some things. Now, I know there are things that I like to do alone, and maybe there are for you as well, but we are created for some things together. It truly is better. For some of you who are a part of this gathering today, this bike may hold a little bit of familiarity, but I also understand for some it won't, because it was a few months back that we did a series as a part of Good Life called Together. What does it mean to be together? Why the together? And we realize that there is something pretty special about together, and something that is essential about together. Just that word itself definitely evokes some feelings in us. Together, there's a warmth to it, there's an invitation to it, there's an embrace to it. You know, I actually believe that together was something that God purposed from the very beginning. You know, if I go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, and that's what Genesis simply means, the beginnings. If I go back there, I discover this God who created, and He created in bounty, and He created in beauty. And when I read that account over and over again, you hear God say, "It's good." He created light to separate from darkness, and it was good. He created the earth, and it was good. He created creatures, and it was good. And He creates mankind, and it's good. But then we come to this space in the scriptures that for the very first time, you see God say it's not good. And that's in reference to being alone. God actually says this: it's not good for man to be alone. And then we see this passage that it says, so God actually created a helper or a helpmeet in some translations, and brings woman to man. Now, I'm not going into a whole other message here, but, you know, I don't think that woman was just created to help man. I actually think there is this mutuality to that sense of helper. We were created for relationship, with a mutuality to that, a connectedness with one another, a togetherness of equality of both need and supply. But sometimes that just gets reduced to one person being my helper. You know, let's fast forward a few millennia, and we come to this discovery of what it looks like for people to gather as followers of Jesus, a togetherness that comes out of walking with Christ. You know, this is referenced in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It's the beginnings again of the church, of the community of believers. And I've asked another one of my favorites, a person who's really dear to me, to read to us from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Have a listen to this and lean in to the words.
I'm going to be reading from Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Yeah, when I read those verses, there's something that is brought to life in me. It's not just the romantic notion. I think it's the intention of those scriptures that there is a beautiful togetherness. Togetherness in large expression of community and togetherness in the intimacy of closeness. You know, in this new era of social distancing, I think this sense of together is more inviting than ever. There's something about this sense of together that creates a yearning in me, and I realize, you know, I'm missing it. You know, for me personally, I'm a toucher, I'm a hugger, I'm a contact person. And I've had to sort of work out what the new norm is for me. You know, the gathering of the church to me is really a, you know, an embrace and a hug, a handhold, a laying on hands and praying. And yet all that just feels like it's going to be different for a while, if not for the long term. And so when I read about Jesus' friends and Jesus' followers coming together, I sort of get this glimpse of what this new way of living could be like when we follow Jesus. What does it look like to truly be community, to be helpers to one another in this life journey, to be helpmeets to one another within a genuine context of community? You know, one thing I am very aware of is that there's meeting together and there's eating together. There is large and there's small. That it's not just the church doing small groups as a part of a program. You know, it almost feels like the opposite, that this coming together was this expression of what was happening in individual lives and in small communities. It's almost like, man, we're living and giving and serving and eating, and gosh, there's lots of little groups of us doing that, and let's come together as a bigger expression of that. And so they would meet in the temple grounds and they would meet in one another's homes, and they weren't independent of one another, but rather sort of mutually dependent on each other. And so my hope is that more and more we would actually explore in this season, what does it look like? What's Acts chapter 2 in 2020? I don't know, but I think we do get a glimpse of it when we listen to what's happening in small group communities in the midst of the Good Life community. Like what's happening in Scott Ahern's home and in his community. And you'll hear in this that sort of mutual need of the expression. So let's listen in again.
Church for us has been really good through COVID. So putting it on the TV upstairs has really engaged more of the people that we're attempting to engage. The idea of inviting someone to church. We do it a bit, but a lot of people have preconceived notions of what church is and how it will be and possibly how they will be met. And so for us, we've been doing the 10 a.m. screening of church, and we've got a few of us that live here and then a few people that are just curious what's happening, and we've had a few friends have come over, and so we've been doing church probably of about 11 of us. And for our purposes here at the house, it has been spectacular, really. We've really been able to engage the house well and have conversations that were, you know, the whole purpose of the house is to have these conversations. And so it's actually equipped us better than the model before. And we've had a couple of conversations about, do we really want to go back, and how are we going to go back, and more or less, what is the reason to go back? And the old model obviously has its perks, and we do really miss seeing people and our good friends and such, but this new model has some great perks for us as well. And should we do alternating weeks? Should we attend church in mass one week and then church at home the next week and try to get the benefits of being together with people and being a part of the body of Christ and also being in a smaller group and engaging individuals and doing, you know, intimate life together? It is a beautiful thing to be joined to a church, and really a church that I feel at home at. Like, it's such a blessing to be a part of Good Life. And so figuring out how I can continue to be a part of that, but also fulfill the calling here at the house.
There's something so great about hearing what is happening, Scott, in your community. The openness, the welcome, the warmth, the heart connection. But also I still hear this sense of longing that we can be a part of something that is bigger. You know, right now we have an opportunity. It's sort of been imposed upon us in this season. But it's an opportunity to really look at, what does together mean? How can we do it? How can we come together and still find intimacy and strength in that sort of helper way? That we become an aid to one another, not just, I guess in a sense, awaiting the church to come to my aid or to meet my need. I think that's what I find when I read Genesis and I see this idea of God creating a helpmate. It's the beautiful mutuality of that need, but also that gift that we become to one another. And honestly, that happens more effectively in intimacy. You know, Jesus said that wherever two or three are gathered, he's right there in the midst. You know, sometimes I think maybe there's more of God if there was not just two or three, but 20 or 30, or maybe 200 or 300, or gosh, isn't it really his presence when there's 2,000 or 3,000? But actually, the scriptures say, wherever two or three are gathered together, right there, the fullness of God expressed in the two or the three. You know, in this space, why don't we just take a moment and sit in that thought? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can look at something or gaze into something so longingly that I don't have, that I miss what I do have. You know, I so long for the newness of something that I miss the beauty of what I've had for so long. You know, I think we can sometimes miss the beauty of the moment because we're longing for what's next. There's a few moments I want to spend in a song that just says this: I decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. In that decision, I don't know what it's going to look like. I just know that I've engaged his mercy, I've engaged his grace, I've engaged his goodness, and I've engaged whatever that means in my life, in my community, in my faith, in the outworking of that. I just know that I want to walk in his ways. And so let's just take a moment here and sit in that. And as we're led in these words, whether you sing along or think along the words or meditate on them, what does it mean to follow Jesus, to engage him fully, to be that outworked expression of the fullness of humanity, the fullness of life, as a follower. You know, and after we share this moment together, I'm going to be back with a really important invitation for all of us to really engage with this question of what might it look like going ahead? What do we take of what we've had? And what do we take of what doesn't yet exist? And I really want you to be a part of that. And so do come back and join in after the song as we explore what lies ahead. But let's sit here for a moment.
You will not change, so your goodness will not end. You cannot fail, so I will not be overwhelmed. The cross before me, I'll leave the world behind, and though none go with me, Jesus, you'll be mine. So your goodness will not end, you cannot fail. So I will not be overwhelmed, the cross before me. I'll leave the world behind, and though none go with me, Jesus, you will be mine. Will meet me. I'm not turning back, no And I will follow where you lead me, where your promises will meet me. I'm not turning back, no turning back.
For me personally, I love the sense of that song because there is a dynamic sense of the decision that I've made. It's really an unconditional surrender to journeying with Jesus. And his point was that we do it with others. You know, I really do look forward to that time that we're able to gather together in large gatherings. I like the large sense of choir and declaration and all of those things. I long for the time when we can do it without social distancing, where we don't have to sit apart. You know, but right now, the reality is we're still in a volatile and fluid situation. You know, our borders were opening and now we've got borders closing again. And I don't know what the future has, and none of us do. But in this season, I want us to be aware as a community. Different churches are doing different things. You know, I have friends who are pastors and they're actually handing out tickets to their gatherings. They can only have 100 people, so first in, best dressed, and that works for their community. You know, others are gathering multiple times as small communities, and that works for them. But I also know another fella who began services and has actually pulled back because there was a dynamic to their gathering that was really difficult for him to watch. You see, under new guidelines, if you're a family, you can come together. And if you're a couple or a, you know, you're a household, you can come together. But if you're single, if you live on your own, you've got to attend church on your own. And he found that all these individuals were forced to sit as individuals, and there was just something that it didn't feel right about it. Now, I don't know yet what it looks like for us, but gosh, I want a togetherness of it. I want everyone to feel like, you know, if I want to come by myself as a choice, I have that choice. But when being alone is enforced on me, something about that doesn't feel right. And so we want to do this with incredible wisdom. And I want you to feel like you can come and find a place of connectedness and community, the togetherness that Jesus intended. So what we're engaging is the sort of the voice of our community. We want to formulate some questions and then get those questions in everyone's hands that just begin to ask things like, what do we yearn for? What have we missed? What have I learned in this season? If I was given the liberty to dream, what might it look like? And so I really am asking you, if you consider yourself a part of this Good Life community, even if you're new to Good Life and you've discovered us in this space and you're part of a digital community at this time, I'm going to invite you to engage the questions too. There's going to be a link that's on this YouTube channel. It's going to be in our social media that gives you the opportunity to connect into those questions, to sort of have a voice that shapes who we are, what we take hold of, what we let go of, what we expect, what we dream about. Would you please connect and engage in that sense? You know, I know there are friends of ours part of this Good Life community. We heard them share a couple of weeks ago. They said that in their experience in China, the church thrived in twos or threes. You know, I think there's a thriving in the both and, as Scott alluded to. So would you please come and join in the togetherness of journeying this in a healthy manner? You know what is genuinely exciting to me in that passage of Acts chapter 2? You know, I do get a sense of excitement when I read about the giving and the sharing and the eating and the gathering and this real sense of community, but probably more than anything, the end of verse 47 just grabs me. And it's the bit that Holly read that says this, "And their numbers were added to daily." You know? And it wasn't just that more and more people came to their congregational gathering, but the kingdom of God kept advancing. People were engaging what they were seeing these believers engaged in together and saying, I want in on that. I want to be part of that. And you, honestly, you may be part of this little digital platform and you wouldn't come to a big gathering. But hey, I want you to just realize that you are part of something much bigger, an enormous expression of life and love that is not just a home or a gathering, but much rather than that, much bigger. Like, you look at the expanse of this and you realize that you are a part of a movement of life and love and grace and forgiveness and community and togetherness. And so, can we walk into this together? Can we walk into the whatever is ahead with one heart, with one mind, and with a deep expectation to love, to engage together? Because some things were just never meant to be done alone.